Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.
She's seen the political jungle close up and survived, and indeed was crowned Queen of Ant and Dec's Celebrity Jungle in 2005. She's just penned a funny and somewhat self-effacing memoir. She joins me on the line. It is Carol Thatcher. Carol, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Rob.
Are you well?
Very good indeed, thank you.
Now, can you pass a message on to your mother for me? It's a long time, and I don't normally hold a grudge, but many, many years ago, she once stood on my toe when I was trying to interview her, and her press secretary at the time, Sir Bernard Ingham, assaulted me in the Garden Festival in Liverpool.
I bet he didn't. I know Bernard. He's a very nice man. But I'm very sorry that you had an altercation with Maggie's power heels. I sympathise. I do hope that the toe has recovered.
It has indeed. Well, he did assault me. And actually, it was your mother who grabbed my hand. It was for a television interview. She grabbed my hand and pulled me back because she wanted to carry on the interview.
Well, she liked talking and she had plenty of views she wasn't reticent in expressing.
Now, listen, Carol, while we are talking about your mother, how is her health? Because, of course, we did see some pictures of her last week with Tony Blair, being held by Tony Blair at a memorial ceremony, of course. How is she now?
Well, she's in quite good form, actually. She is over 80, and who knows what old age has in store for any of us. Her office has put out over the years several statements about her health. I talked about her dementia when I won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in 2005. And look, we're a very pragmatic family and we're coping very well, but I can't pretend that she was the lady she was in Number 10, which of course you know she left 18 years ago. So time marches on.
Should you have revealed quite as much as you have done about your mother's dementia?
Well, I inherited from her, I think, the view that it's better to say it how it is. I think in my situation writing a book, if I'd left it out, I would have been clobbered. If I put it in, I would have been shot at. So it was swings and roundabouts.
But nevertheless, you've no regrets about what you've said?
No, I have no regrets at all. In actual fact, when I wrote about it, I wrote about it with reason and sensitivity.
In fact, I think I was a little more shocked by your revelations about Jenny Frost from Atomic Kitten. Fancy saying she wears fake tan, Carol.
A terrible thing. Listen, we're in the rainforest in the jungle. It's not called rainforest for nothing. It rained and rained and rained. And when she was voted off, she's a very glamorous girl, and I think she thought she fancied the all-over golden look. And by God, she looked very glamorous when she had it done.
Now let's turn to the memoir, because as I said a moment ago, it is slightly self-effacing, but it is funny. Looking at your life, Carol, a lot of people might say, well, hold on a minute, your mum is Margaret, your brother is Mark, your surname is Thatcher. You've either had everything going for you, or in fact, you've had nought going for you. When you look back, which way do you regard that?
I've always called the phenomenon of having a famous political surname that of second-hand fame. I wasn't famous. My mother was famous. And incidentally, she made my father's name, Thatcher, famous around the world on the political stage.
She was Roberts, of course.
That's right. I've always said that second-hand fame is swings and roundabouts. Of course, there are perks. I yo-yoed in and out of Number 10 for 11 and a half years, not because I had anything to do with politics, but because my parents called it home. Chequers is a very pucker weekender. I got to meet the Gorbachev. I was even invited to the White House. I've still got the invitation framed and hanging on my loo wall at home. Now, none of those things, Rob, would have happened to me had my mother not been Britain's first woman prime minister. Now, the flip side of that, to borrow pop jargon, is that when I did something embarrassing, I found myself being reported in the tabloid newspapers looking very silly indeed. I mean, remember Ewan Blair, who keeled over in Leicester Square, having overdone the booze? That would never have been reported. Plenty of teenagers do that nightly. Believe me, I live quite near the place, except that his dad was in Number 10, so he was all over the papers. And look now, a couple of weeks ago, you never heard of the following: Track and Trig and Bristol and Willow
and
Piper Palin. But you jolly well have now, and you know a great deal about them, simply because John McCain, asked their mum, Sarah, governor of Alaska, to be his running mate. So they've splashed down in the political goldfish bowl, and they'll find themselves in the spotlight. And they're going to have it much worse than in my day because of the internet, because of 24-hour news, because the whole level, if you like, of invasion of politicians' families' lives, I think, certainly has got a lot worse.
It's interesting that you were talking about this particular issue, because I read in a newspaper in Scotland, which was really reviewing your book to a degree, but it pointed out that you've made a documentary about the Falklands War, Mummy's War. The headlines over this current book that you've just brought out is about your mum. And actually, the newspaper concluded that political children are always destined to be a satellite of their mother's parentship. Is that, to a degree, how you see it, talking about the Palin family as well?
Well, I think, look, let's see what happens in the election. She may disappear without trace. She may end up being vice president. She indeed may end up being president. I, of course, having had an inkling what it's like to be in the goldfish bowl myself, lap up all details. See, Chelsea Clinton, who I think's handled it terribly well, and for heaven's sake may end up having, well, she's had her father as president. Her mum may eventually be president. Now, that's quite a lot to cope with, but I admire the grace and courtesy with which she handles it all. Look at the Bush twins. Their grandfather was president. Their father was is president still. And yet little Jenna Bush said, well, I don't want a White House wedding. I just want to get married down on the ranch in Texas. So you've got to stamp your own personality on the label rather than being swamped by it.
Now, Carol, the same paper, I have to tell you, also went on to say that Mark, your twin brother, was Margaret's favourite.
Well, I mean, that's a question for my mother, not for me, isn't it? I had a twin brother. I never had any other siblings, so I don't really have anything to compare it with.
Do you think, though, to a degree, talking about your brother, do you think to a degree that he in particular, and of course the press have said this a number of times, he in particular has traded off the Thatcher name, hasn't he?
I don't think that's true. Look, when you've got the name, if you like, it's a no-win situation. You take an opportunity and they'll say you only got it because your mum's in number 10. You decline an opportunity and you're told you're stupid. So it is very much my father, who after all was a very good consort to my mother, used to describe being in the goldfish bowl as walking on eggshells. And I think I rather agree with that.
By the way, talking about Mark, all the claims and counterclaims, Carol, over his involvement or non-involvement in the coup plot in Equatorial Guinea, what's the relationship been like over the years between you and him, but also between him and your mother?
Well, I spoke to you on the phone the other day, we haven't lived in the same country for decades. So it's not a question of going round to have, you know, share Sunday lunch or something. He's lived all over the world, and I've lived mostly in the UK, although I travel a lot. So by geographical, if you like, impossibility, we haven't seen all that much of each other. I put in the book, he sent me a very kind and very gracious email when I won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and I was genuinely touched. So we have a very good middle-aged working relationship.
You're not embarrassed about all the allegations that he has drawn over the recent years?
No, I don't have eggshell sensitive feelings, Rob.
Well, I suspect that you wouldn't actually, Carol. Going back to your mother and your childhood, Carol, which you describe in the book greatly, I mean, one of the most amusing things is you talk about your father's reaction when you were born, when he realised that both of you were born, the twins were born. What was that reaction?
We weren't meant to be twins. My mother thought she was expecting one baby and out stepped two. And when I was a teenager, I went to a ladies' lunch at which she was speaking, and she was introduced as being politically ambitious, clever and attractive. And when she had a baby, she had a boy and a girl, so she didn't have to repeat the process. So I just put it down to my mother doing things, well, the Maggie way.
And both of them, Dennis and your mum, it comes across in the book, they really were workaholics, weren't they?
Yes, they both worked very hard. I think I was probably the only kid in my class who had two working parents. It was a relationship ahead of its time, if you like. And I, looking back, I admire how they juggled careers, a home, children, and the whole package.
Because she also said, because you do mention this in the book, that she took the view that somehow holidays were counterproductive.
Well, my mother never particularly liked holidays, even more so when she was Prime Minister, because she didn't want to be away from the job. And she also took the view that when you come back from a holiday, and I think there's something in this, actually, one look at your desk and all the work that's piled up, the therapeutic value of the holiday has totally evaporated once you see your desk at the end of it and the enormous workload that's piled up while you've been sitting on the beach.
So you should ask for your money back, really, effectively.
Not quite.
The story, I know it's a question you're always asked, but is this story true that your mother only slept during those Downing Street years for about 3 hours a night?
She could last quite well on 3 or 4 hours sleep a night, yes. She didn't. It wasn't that she didn't get tired, she simply had the adrenaline and the focus to overcome that tiredness.
And did it put you off in the end? Did it put you off going into politics, or was that never a possibility for Carol Thatcher?
I never thought of going into politics, and so I didn't need to be put on it or off it.
And you'd never be tempted now? You would never, for example, I mean, I could see you and Boris Johnson together, Carol.
Oh, well, look, I'm promoting a book at the moment, and I take one thing at a time, Rob.
One of the points that comes up continually looking back at that whole period is, of course, that for a lot of people, your mother was a figure of hatred. I mean,
yes, but she won 3 consecutive general elections. She was the longest serving prime minister last century.
She was, of course, and that is true. But nevertheless, there are a lot of people who obviously still regard her as a figure that is divisive in the country. I mean, think of the mining communities, thinking of where we're sitting at the moment here in Liverpool, etc. But I was just wondering, as a child, how does it affect you when your parents or your mother is being pilloried in that way?
Well, I was grown up when my mother became prime minister, and I had a standard phrase when people used to attack me about my mother's policies or her politics at all. I used to say very simply, listen, I'm a member of the Prime Minister's family, not her cabinet, not her government, I'm not a member of parliament. You know, how would you feel if I attacked you about some aspect of your parents' job or careers? And on the whole, they used to pipe down.
And given that, were you surprised in the end at the reaction you got when you went into Antandek's jungle?
Yes, I was absolutely astonished when I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I went in as a complete rank outsider. Most of the other contestants were in show business. Some of them were in soap operas. So, of course, they had the audiences of those shows as an enormous built-in fan base. I had none of that at all. And I was thrilled and exhilarated to win and very grateful to the people who liked the show and indeed bothered to vote for me.
Well, you were in with an interesting bunch, of course. You had Jimmy Osmond
delightful
in there.
Delightful man.
Yeah, you had Jenny Frostener, of course, from Atomic Kitten. And you had one contestant who eventually came out and at the end of the programme said, Carol's wonderful, but she's as mad as a hatter. Do you recognise that in yourself?
Oh, I would regard that as a compliment. Yes, absolutely. Bonkers.
OK, well, accepting your bonkers, what happens next to Carol Thatcher?
Well, actually, I'm just training to do a mountain bike trip through Nicaragua, Costa Rica and Panama. On your bike, Thatch, I'm going to call it.
Wasn't that Norman Tebbit's phrase?
Yes, I think it was.
And don't wish to dwell here, Carol, but are we ever going to see the day when you might get hitched?
I guarantee you never.
And is that why is that? Just tell me.
Because I don't do extremes of behaviour and it's a bit late now.
It's never too late, Carol.
Oh, well, come on. No such plans.
Carol, the book A Swim on Part in the Goldfish Bowl, a memoir by Carol Thatcher, is published by Headline Review. It's priced £18.1999, though we got £3 off in a famous store beginning with W. No, the other one. And Carol, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Rob, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.